Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. It's one of my favorite days of the week, not just because you can rest, but also because the stock market is closed. Have you noticed the stock market has been a little crazy lately? I'm joined by my colleague, business partner, and friend of 35 years, the amazing Mike Carter. Mike, how are you doing this morning?
Great. Yes, I've been watching the markets and all that's going on because it's hard not to, even on a Saturday, to kind of check and say, okay, what should I be thinking about now?
Yeah, well, I'm getting a lot of calls about the uncertain stock market. When did this all start? Well, the market peaked on July 17th with the Dow at an all-time high. Prior to that, it was the point of 41,500 on the Dow. And that was on a Monday, July 17th. And what was significant about that Monday? It was the first trading day after President Trump had been shot, throwing the presidential race into a surreal situation. Biden would soon withdraw. Vice President Harris would be selected without a single vote. And then we had the media onslaught, social media and the internet seemingly changing history. Like I saw him shot. You saw him shot, right?
Yes.
Live on television.
For about 48 hours. And then all of a sudden, well, maybe he wasn't even shot, according to our CIA director. And then
FBI.
FBI. And then you start Googling things and you see what they're doing to change the algorithm there. And it starts to say, okay. It's a different media world today.
Yeah, well, you try that. Try artificial intelligence and ask for commentary on Trump assassination attempt. And Google's AI chatbot, and really almost every AI chatbot, refused to even answer basic questions about it. I'm looking at foxbusiness.com from July 30th. Google AI chatbot refuses to answer questions about Trump assassination attempt relating to previous policy. Did you notice that? Did you try it?
I didn't try it, but I didn't doubt it either when I saw that that's what was coming up. And it just makes you wonder, what is it that they're trying to hide or do when you see something like that?
Yeah, they would make these claims. Google would say, well, we didn't manually do that. No, you wrote an algorithm that did it automatically, which is even scarier because it's going to do it in every case, not just in one case. Let me quote here. Artificial intelligence chatbot Google Gemini refuses to answer questions about the failed assassination attempt against former President Trump in accordance with what it calls its policy on election-related issues. Now, how is that not in the public interest that someone's trying to shoot a former president who's a candidate for president? And all these questions about whether or not Secret Service was doing their job, doing a proper job, and yet the Google chatbot refused. It says, I can't help with responses on elections and political figures right now. What good is AI if you can't look up and find about the election? Gemini told Fox News Digital when asked about the recent assassination attempt. While I would never deliberately share something that's inaccurate, I can make mistakes. So while I work on improving, you can try Google search.
Yeah, you know, we've been warned about this, and we help facilitate a project through our solution to action tank here, where AI is going to be used either for evil or it's going to be used for truth. We're going to be able to find what's really happening out there or we're not. And so these parallel systems to where we can actually see this is what I saw with my plain eye, both of my eyes, is that I'm like, can I confirm that with what I'm seeing from AI? And when you don't, you start to say, okay, it's getting a little scary.
So artificial intelligence is manipulating us, yes, is what that's saying. And somebody programmed it to manipulate us, and it's Google, and I'm not sure I trust Google. All right, so AI from Google tells us, so while I'm working on improving, you can try Google search. So looking up Google search, I typed in assassination attempt on TRU, and you know what it pre-populated? It pre-populated Truman.
Well, that's current and
President
relative.
Truman, right? And in fact, there's a National Review article, August 5th. Google admits to omitting Trump assassination attempt from search autocomplete feature. Did you try it? I did.
I didn't try it.
Mike, you got to get out there more and try these things. You saw it in the news, though, right?
I did see it in the news, yes. I saw it in the news. I saw it on there, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. But I've learned to, I have my trusted sources now, and I've learned to just be careful with anything that I search out there nowadays.
I tried it five different ways. It infuriated me. Let me quote from this National Review article. It says, an attorney for Google's parent company admitted that the autocomplete tool for its search function did not include the assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump. The admission came after the apparent search issues drew controversy online. So AI says, hey, we're not going to tell you the truth about this, and it's, you know, because of our policy, but you should try Google search. Then you try Google search, and they admit they don't let you find it easily. And not only that, in the same article, it goes on to explain that if you searched for just President Trump, you would get Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, featured, and any mention of Trump will be Harris is beating Trump, or Harris is better than Trump,
or six out of eight times, or something like that. I saw.
Yeah.
And we did. We saw how all this can be manipulated. We had Epstein on the show before.
Dr. Robert Epstein, who is he's a liberal Democrat, not a fan of Trump, voted for Clinton, voted for Biden, and yet he says Google is manipulating us. Right now. So what do you think Google's bias is?
Well, I think that's pretty obvious right now. But the scary part is what he shared was how for those independent voters that are trying to make a decision, how this can sway such a large percentage of that audience just by what Google serves up there. And to see that it's an AI tool that says this and then go to Google and it says this, it tells me that this isn't something that's just kind of happening. It's planned.
Yeah, we've had Dr. Robert Epstein in the Economic War Room on our Blaze television show several times. We've also, you and I traveled with him to Liberty University, where he and I spoke to Liberty University's convocation, which was fantastic. But Google is manipulating us. It's creating a lot of uncertainty, and that uncertainty is causing people to be concerned. I'll take us back to the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
They're being concerned about their investments. So political uncertainty has led to economic uncertainty, and that's what we're going to talk about today, economic uncertainty.
Yeah, and let's just talk about those investments. If I can't find the information I want to find if I'm deciding what I want to invest in, that's an issue. I mean, I need to have trusted sources that I can go to and say, well, I believe this company is a good investment because of this, this, and this. And if they can manipulate that even, can they cause an economic collapse?
But absolutely they could. You know, you could put enough data and information out in the feed that the trading algorithms would pick that up. That was tested once where a tweet went out that said President Obama has been shot, and it caused the stock market to collapse.
I remember that.
And so the Monday after President Trump was shot was the peak in the market, and it went down for weeks after that. You know, there'd be rebounds and so forth, but it was quite the struggle.
Well, I'm glad we've got NSIC, and we're helping equip advisors with truth and information and how they can align their money with their values and all those types of things out there. But these are the things we need to be aware of as citizens, you know, what we're hearing, what we're seeing. Do I trust it? Have multiple sources? And fact check it yourself.
Yeah, that's right. So here's the thing. People get nervous when they get uncertain about their money. And I've gotten so many calls. People ask me, what do I do with my money? Because we've had this tumultuous presidential campaign. We have the economy up in it. We've got inflation. We've got this. And we've got a real switch, a bidirectional. You're going to elect one set of policies from Harris or a very distinctly different set of policies with Trump. What do I do? Well, here's our key Bible verse for today. 1 Timothy 6:17, New King James. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So here are my thoughts. If you live in America, you're rich in this present age. Number two, God's word says riches are uncertain. And number three, God says we are not to trust in riches. And so that's what we're going to focus on.
Did he say not to trust in Google too?
Yeah, well, I think that would be true. Google has literally lied to us, as we've evidenced just now. This is the kind of thing we talk about week in and week out on Pirate Money Radio. Where do you put your trust? How do you handle it? And even after all that, where do I put my money? We'll have more on this right after the break.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, we were talking just before the break, 1 Timothy 6:17, New King James, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Here are the thoughts. Number one, if you live in America, you are rich in this present age. We've been so blessed here in America.
Yeah.
And number two, God's word says riches are uncertain. People ask me, hey, Kevin, give me certainty about my investments. And I was like, I can't. If God's declared it uncertain, how can Kevin make it certain? I can't. And number three, we're not to trust riches. We're to trust God who gives us richly all things we enjoy. I know you, we've been friends for a long time. You and I have had our financial ups and downs at time. You know, you had some great jobs that paid you extraordinarily, and you lived in that fabulous house, and you've had some struggle times too.
Yeah, we've had some entrepreneurial wins and some losses out there, but you learned that one thing, you learned to always trust in the Lord, and you've also, you know, through that process, we learned that you don't hold on too tightly to what you have.
Yeah. Well, the question comes up, what do I do with the money that I have? You know, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company, supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And I appreciate any company that supports liberty, security, and values. That's what I want my money to be doing, whether I'm giving, spending, or investing.
Yeah, and you just look at a Patriot Mobile website, for example, and you see what they're giving towards. And I'd encourage people listening to look at that. I mean, you can kind of feel good about paying that bill every month. It's like, oh, it's going towards good things.
Well, you get more information, again, at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So we're looking at the stock market. We're looking at what our 401k says. We're looking at, you know, do we have money for our retirement, our kids' college, all those things. Should I stay in the stock market? We had this big drop in early August. There was a moment of panic. Mm-hmm. Why?
You know, I'm curious. I wanted you to expand on that a little bit, Kevin, because you talked about this Japanese thing, which I'd never heard before. And can you just kind of walk through that a little more?
Yeah, that week was a kind of an amazing week because all of a sudden I'm getting calls from Jenna Ellis, Dinesh D'Souza, talking to Charlie Kirk, so many people. That week was great because I also interviewed Ben Carson and John Voight, and you know, which we had on clips from last week.
We're getting a lot of influencers through Liberty Hawk Ranch and on our shows, and that's the encouraging part of all this. When we see uncertainty out there, we're also seeing people coming together and working together more and saying, okay, how do we work towards solutions?
Yeah, but they were all universally saying, is this it? Is mm-hmm. this the Harris trade? Is the market going down? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that a little bit today. But I'll tell you what happened in that big drop, the largest drop in a couple of years from early August, it had to do with the Japanese yen carry trade. Now, I know that doesn't make sense. Japanese yen, what does that have to do with the American stock market? And I'll tell you what it has to do with. The Japanese currency had been going down for years against the U.S. dollar, and they had near zero interest rates. And so big money players, hedge funds, could go into Japan, and they could borrow money at 0% interest. And when they paid it back, the yen had depreciated from the week before, month before, year before, so much so that they could actually make a profit just from borrowing it, holding it, and paying it back if they converted it to something else. So they could have turned it into U.S. dollars and made money. But they did beyond that. They took that money that they borrowed in Japan, and they bought U.S. stocks, particularly the Magnificent Seven stocks. Head of that class is NVIDIA, which is a chip maker that benefits from artificial intelligence, but also in there is Apple and Facebook and Google, and you know, it's the old big tech stocks, Microsoft. So this Magnificent Seven stocks, they just kept producing profits because we had this AI boom going on, and it seemed like free guaranteed money. And so they just kept borrowing in yen, investing here, borrowing in yen, investing here. And then all of a sudden, something that we thought would be good for the stock market, the Federal Reserve comes out and says, we may lower interest rates here in America. Hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
It came out and Jerome Powell says, all right, we're headed for a September rate cut and we're going to lower interest rates. Well, guess what? All of a sudden, that made the Japanese yen a little more attractive on a relative basis, so that people said, hey, you know, the yen, maybe it's a little too cheap. Maybe it needs to go up in value relative to the dollar. So the yen strengthened. And the minute the yen strengthened, there were all of these debt margin calls from Japan. Hey, you borrowed in yen. We need to get you to put some money back in. And where do I get that money? Well, I'll have to sell some NVIDIA or some Apple. And people started selling their stocks to reverse that yen carry trade. And when they did that, that created a panic here. It wasn't necessarily the Harris trade. Maybe it was. Maybe there's all this political uncertainty leading to economic uncertainty, leading to people worried about the stock market. And then the trigger, the match that lights the fuse, was the Japanese yen carry trade.
So that's what it was on this one. But we've also talked and seen what the World Economic Forum has talked about, this cyber attack potentially on the banks and causing a great reset. That's what people are kind of, is that happening now? That's what people are concerned about.
All right. So we talked with General Flynn here in the economic war room, and I sat down with him privately, and he said, if I were the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, if I were the head of the National Security Council, he's held both positions, I would have been forced to take this to the president. Now, to give you the gravity of that, he also told me he never once, when he was the head of the DIA, never once met with President Obama. Not one time. Hmm. Obama appointed him and reappointed him, but never once did he take a meeting with him. But he said, I would have been forced to make a meeting happen with the president because he's hearing chatter of an October surprise. And that October surprise could be any of a number of things. It could be stock market. It could be economic. But what he believes that is going to happen is the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and 28 others, 80% of the world's population, half of the world's economy, may try and pull the rug out from under the dollar and in a fire sale fashion in October, which would include a attack on cyber attack like CrowdStrike. We just had that CrowdStrike thing. We talked about it a few weeks ago here. You put them all together with the notion that, Vice President Harris could well be coming. The polls don't look impossible for her, and one good debate win.
And her vice presidential candidate is not making that team look any more free market focused.
No. In fact, they're definitely Marxist in their approach. I mean, she even uses Marxist phraseology, looking forward to what's ahead, unburdened by what's already been, you know, that's Marxist phraseology. Her father is absolutely Marxist, absolutely 100% taught at Berkeley as a Marxist. She was raised in that, and her policies, now she shifted some of them in her public stances, but her policies were avowedly Marxist. Take your guns, confiscate wealth, you know, those kind of things. And one policy she's absolutely stood with is that she's going to let the Trump tax cuts expire, as Biden said he would too.
And that'll be great for middle America, and that's already hurting out there right now, to pay more taxes. So,
well, and it's going to be bad for the whole economy. I mean, corporate taxes, one notion, corporate taxes go back to 35%. Right now, our corporate tax rate is about 20%, 21%. I've got corporate taxes across the G20. The highest is Argentina, the lowest Saudi Arabia, and this is from June of 2024, June of this year. Saudi Arabia is at 20%, Russia is 20%, U.S. is 21%, but Argentina, India, Brazil, Japan, Australia, Germany, Mexico, all 30% or higher. America would go to 35%. We would be go from one of the lowest tax rates to one of the highest tax rates in the G20. What would that do to American corporations?
Wow. Wow. And I just heard that her new vice presidential pick does not have any investments at all. I'm not confirmed that, but that was on a reliable news source this morning. He has no investments.
He was in the National Guard for decades, and yet he lived a year in China and traveled to China every year. He is a China, and he loves China. China is Marxist. China is not our friend. So how is that? You know, I heard Sebastian Gorka ask that question. You know, if someone with a security clearance travels to China like that, they get a visit and knock on the door. And this guy was very much pro-China. But back on this whole issue of corporate taxes, if you have a super high tax rate in your nation, what do? They move to other nations. Mm-hmm. And I have proof of that. Did you see Chevron, after 145 years in California, is relocating to Texas?
I didn't see that. Another Texas company coming now.
Headlines from the LA Times. Here's the significant thing about that. You know the original name for Chevron?
No.
Standard Oil of California. Standard Oil of California. This is a John D. Rockefeller when they split them up. So they're coming to Texas, and the LA Times is having to report on it. It says, with the announcement Friday that it was moving its headquarters from California to Texas, Chevron Corporation became perhaps one of the last dinosaurs to slip into the tar pit, a symbol of California's monumental transition from a manufacturing and production state to the brave new world of services. In the popular imagination, California has been seen as Hollywood, sunshine, and beaches that attracted millions of new residents and built its sprawling cities. But in reality, the great magnet of growth for decades was the production of things. Think aerospace, petroleum, and agriculture. And now that's slipping away to Texas. That is what happens when you adopt socialist policies like 20% minimum wages and you have high corporate tax rates, as California does. You'll want to move to a lower tax state. And if you have high national corporate tax rates, you're going to want to move to a lower tax nation.
Yes.
Which means manufacturing can be done in other nations, lower tax rates, and maybe not a strong environmental standard. So it's going to hurt the environment. It's going to hurt American workers. It's going to hurt our economy. It's going to hurt American investors. That's what high corporate tax rates do to you. And by the way, corporations don't really pay taxes. They pass them along immediately to the consumer in higher prices.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard Jim Cramer say the other day that if you care about pocketbook issues, you care about your taxes, you're going to vote Trump. That was his assessment.
After he did endorse Harris earlier.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about this more and the differences between the Harris approach and the Trump approach and what that could mean for your wallet right after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined by my colleague, Mike Carter, and we're talking about uncertainty of riches, but still, we have to invest our money. We have to be good stewards of the things God's given us. So here are a couple of points that we're making. First, the person who occupies the White House will make a tremendous difference in regard to how investments perform. We're at an inflection point between socialism and free markets. Tax policy being one example, and we were talking about how under Harris, she's going to let the Trump tax cuts expire, corporate taxes will go higher. It's also going to hit families with higher tax rates as well. So that's the first point. Here's the second point I want to make. What may seem obvious may be obviously wrong. Did you get that?
Is that a Harris new Harris phrase?
No, that's a Joe Grambo. Harris says unburdened by what has been, meaning we're going to forget history, wipe out history, and so forth, which is a very Marxist concept.
Yep.
Second point is what may seem obvious may be obviously wrong, and this is true in the stock market because I remember as a kid in the eighth grade, my dad being a stockbroker, he came into Sharon Grimm's. It was social studies class, and it was about economics. We were studying the stock market, and we had two classes were competing, and I was in the afternoon class, and the morning class decided that we were entering summer, and what we were going to do is we were going to collect up enough money to buy one share in each class of two different stocks. And the morning class decided they were going to buy Coca-Cola because we were entering summer, and summer's hot, and hot means there'll be more sales of Coca-Cola, and so Coke stock will go up. And they bought that. And I convinced our class to buy MCA Universal, which was a movie-making company that also had record artists and so forth. And I'll admit, my wife laughs at me. I just pulled out some old vinyl records the other day. But I'm going to tell you, the quote that I made, this is me in eighth grade, all right? So forgive me for this. But I said, let's buy MCA because Olivia Newton-John just signed her label and she's hot. And so, yeah.
Well, you got all the boy votes anyhow.
The beautiful Olivia Newton-John. So I said, but they've got this new movie coming out too. It's called Jaws, and it's going to be a summer blockbuster, and nobody realizes it's going to be one of those great summer feel-good movies. But nobody had high expectations for it. And that was, you know, I was the nerd kid in eighth grade, and I was studying, and Olivia was hot, and she was fabulous earnings for MCA. And also, Jaws was the first $100 million blockbuster ever produced. It's, you know, amazing movie. So we beat the pants off the other group. What was obvious about Coca-Cola was obviously wrong.
Yeah.
So what's obvious here in the stock market, what's going to work, I want to quote from an article by Fisher Investments. This is Ken Fisher. Ken Fisher is one of the great investment managers of all time. His father was one of the great economists of all time. Ken writes in Forbes magazine, but he's also built a very large investment management practice. You'll see his ads. Have you seen the Fisher Investments ads?
Yeah, I got to get the envelopes and all that stuff from him.
Yeah. So here's the article from Fisher Investments, August 8th, The Perils of Picking Policy Winners. I'll just read it. Election season is frequently wild and unpredictable. Yeah, that's true. But one entry on the bingo card that gets reliably ticked off every time, pundits hyping of a given candidate's supposed stock market winners and losers. In 2016, it was all about the Trump trade. 4 years later, it was nonstop Biden stocks. This time around, we have already seen a fair amount of Trump trade chatter and Harris. No alliteration here, but you get the gist. Not only do we think this is premature, but the notions of Trump trades, Biden stocks, and now Harris, we guess Harris hits, always miss the mark. Elections do affect markets, and we will get there. But it isn't about identifying the winner and the sectors and industries likeliest to thrive under them. So here's what they contrast. The earlier Trump and current Biden administrations bear this out. In 2016, when Trump won, headlines claimed his presidency would boost energy and industrial stocks bigly, thanks to his campaign emphasis on fossil fuels and defense spending. But that viewpoint didn't work out so hot. During his administration, energy was the S&P 500's only negative sector, down 29.5% cumulative. But industrials were positive, up 49.1%, lagging the S&P 500's 81.4%. Even over a shorter span, the year after the inauguration, both sectors lagged. Now the aerospace and defense industry led in the first year, but lagged over the full 4 years. All right, so what you thought was obvious, Trump's going in, so buy these stocks, it already got priced into the market. Yeah. And so if you bought it too late. What happened when Biden entered the White House? Here again, it supposedly meant dark days for energy, high times for industrials due to all the infrastructure spending he championed, and sunlit uplands for all things green. And yet in the year after his inauguration, energy-led markets rising 56%, industrials lagged slightly, and green energy, which lives in a small nook in the utility sector, was down 15.8%. Even the S&P Global Clean Energy Index, a broad measure including overseas firms, was down. So bottom line is, what's obvious may be obviously wrong. Be very, very careful when you're looking and you're saying, oh, Trump's going to win, and so we got to buy these stocks. It might work in the short term. It's not going to necessarily work in the long term. History proves that out. So
Yeah, I mean, I look at that, and I'm you know, we a couple segments ago we talked about how, you know, it's the markets are pretty much even typically between the Republicans and Democrats out there. As we see this shift towards a much more Marxist type administration, do you think that still holds play?
Well, yeah, historically, and normally the Democrats will begin the analysis starting in 1928 with Herbert Hoover, because they want to include the 29 crash and punish him with that. And they like to end with Bush at the tail end, who had the 2008 financial crisis. But if you pull those out, they're fairly even. Ideally, the best stock markets have come historically when you've got a very conservative Congress, regardless of who president is. And the data is really skewed on that, because the Republicans didn't hold Congress until Clinton. I mean, from the Great Depression until Clinton in the 1990s. So we had 50 or 60 years with the Democrats controlling Congress. When you have a conservative Congress, it makes all the difference in the world. But you're right. The difference between Marxist policies and pro-growth policies is stark. People don't remember. President Jimmy Carter, you know, wonderful human being, I'm sure. I never met him. I met Reagan. I met George W. Bush. I've met President Trump. I've met a number of presidents. Never met Carter. I wouldn't have minded to meet him. I'd sit down, and he might drink a Billy beer. I'd be drinking a cup of coffee or Diet Coke. But he seemed like a really nice guy.
Yeah.
His policies were not. They were pro-Soviet. They were pro-Marxist. They were pro-radical Islam. We had the hostage taking under him. He put the Shah, he displaced the Shah when he could have protected him, put Ayatollah Khomeini into power, and turned Iran from a Western-leaning nation in the Middle East to a, you know, very radical Sharia-loving Muslim country. And so his policies were very much in line with Biden-Harris policies. Mm. And we're seeing that again. We're seeing the threats we're going to do wealth taxes. They're talking about, and all of these things that we changed under Reagan and sort of changed post Obama with Trump. So it's a stark difference that we're facing.
All right. And the good news is?
Well, we can't pick stock market winners and losers, but we can talk about whether the markets have uncertainty, and that's where we are right now. Uncertainty is not good for the stock market. Here's that same Ken Fisher, not his firm, but Ken Fisher himself, quoting an American briefing. More to worry about. Billionaire investor says uncertainty from Harris joining race led to the market downturn. So we said it was the Japanese yen carry trade, but it was certainly magnified by all of a sudden Joe Biden he's withdrawing from the race, but not leaving the office. And Vice President Harris, it wasn't that long ago, everybody knew she was the border czar. And now apparently that doesn't exist anywhere.
Yeah, history's changing there as well.
This is Animal Farm. This is 1984. This is Soviet Russia, where the media changes these things. But there's uncertainty because her positions have always been open borders. She's been manipulating and using the Justice Department. She did in California as Attorney General to go after political opponents. She put David Delaney and went after him because he exposed Planned Parenthood selling of baby body parts. She's talked about wealth tax. She's been pro Sharia, anti-Israel. She's, you know, a lot of things that run contrary to the conservative view, and I think the view of many Christians, not every Christian, but she's created a lot of uncertainty. Trump looked like he had it sewed up. The market was strong. Trump gets shot. She comes in and the market gets uncertain again. And now we've been dealing with that turmoil.
And yet she doubles down with a vice presidential candidate pick that is very much aligned, not trying to get to the middle, but very much aligned with what appears what her beliefs are.
You know, and he is sure a flip-flopper. I saw a commercial when he ran for Congress that was endorsed by the National Rifle Association. Hmm. Now he's endorsed by the guys that want to take your guns. Then there's this whole stolen valor issue. And I just want to tell you, I have never served in the military, and so who am I to criticize a man that was in the National Guard for decades? However, he did withdraw from the National Guard right before deployment, and then he made commercials saying the only people who should be allowed to carry guns are people like me who carried them in combat, or something along those lines. It really is distasteful. And then they came out and attacked J.D. Vance. Well, he never served in the military. He was a Marine, for goodness sake. I'm a little tired of the manipulation of the media, aren't you?
It's happening everywhere, whether it's broadcast or Google or you name it. And that's where getting truth and media that you can trust and fact-checking it yourself becomes so important.
Yeah, and that's when we're looking at our money, you've got to get past the hype because, Biden's going to go into the White House and therefore green energy is going to do well. And you get sucked into that and the media convinces you of that. And then you put your money all there and it doesn't happen to turn out so good. Or Trump's going into the White House, got to put in fossil fuels. And, although they're not really fossil fuels, are they? I don't think oil is made from dead dinosaurs, but...
No, I remember that. It's like, that's a lot of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I think it's abiotic. And I think a lot of the science is beginning to show that. But energy policy, it does matter. You can pick winners and losers. We know that. Politicians tend to make a whole lot of money when they're making decisions and then inside trading based on those decisions. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more after the break on how to best invest your money in this uncertain climate.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And my co-host, Mike Carter. Hey, Mike, I want to read a tweet that former President Trump put out on Truth Social. He says, "Of course there's a massive market downturn. Kamala is even worse than Crooked Joe. Markets will never accept the radical left lunatic that destroyed San Francisco and California as a whole," he posted. "Next move, the Great Depression of 2024. You can't play games with markets. Kamala crash," with like four exclamation points after that. Did you see that?
That is classic Trump, or who's able to take what's going on in the marketplace, label it, and assign it to somebody. So interesting to see. And Some truth in that.
Well, it's certainly uncertain. Certainly there's uncertainty, and that's the key word. That's what we're talking about, uncertain riches. We've been talking about it all hour here on Pirate Money Radio. The key word is uncertainty, and people want to know, what do I do with my money? I don't have answers. I can't give you with certainty because Jesus said, don't put your trust in uncertain riches. And if he made them uncertain, and that's the creator of the universe made them uncertain, how could Kevin and Mike or Pirate Money Radio or Economic War or any of us make them certain? But I do know some key truths, some key principles that we can follow in uncertain times. And I wanted to share those.
Yeah, and I think even before you get into that, while we can't predict that, you've been excellent and through the war room research and stuff here at saying, okay, this is what a Biden presidency is going to look like. And the gas prices, the inflation, we call it all that. So we can be smart in the way we research and understand, okay, what's going on out there. We know there's uncertainty. Now just how do we combine these things together to come up with a proactive game plan that people can start to think about?
That's a good word, game plan. The name of my second book, Game Plan, How to Protect Yourself from the Coming Cyber Economic Attack. You can get more information about that, I guess, at Amazon or places.
Yeah, and it's a very relevant book. I just had someone else the other day was reading it. So this applies today even, and that was written several years back.
10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's 10 years this year.
And the beautiful part is you don't have a prescribed form that this is how you're going to get rich. You say in these times this is what you need to consider, and in these times if it's inflation it looks like this, stagflation it looks like this, and that's where it's important you develop that game plan and try and be ahead of what's going on, even though it's uncertain. We want to be prepared and be good with good stewards of what we have.
Right. And so let's cover seven principles. They're all in the book Game Plan, but they're just seven investment principles that I've learned through more than 40 years in the stock market. I've learned it from some really amazing people and from the Bible. So principle number one, and this is something that's really important. Every bull market is followed by a bear market. That sounds really simple, but when you look at the cycle of a stock market, it goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. Over the long term, it's tended to go higher. But every single bull market is followed by a bear market.
And how long have we been in a bull market now?
Well, since COVID. We had a bear market during COVID when we shut the economy down and it came out. But this is a fact that's too often ignored. And I learned it from the great John Templeton. I mean, mm-hmm. the greatest investor of the last century. And Warren Buffett would look at John Templeton and say, now that's a guy to learn from. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really was. Yeah. And I got to work with him personally. I really got to know him, visit with him in the Bahamas and so forth. He talked about the principle of maximum pessimism and the principle of maximum optimism. And when you see euphoria happening in the market, then you know at some point there's going to be a bear market. And we don't know the exact timing, but nothing grows. No trees can grow to the sky, right? There's a point. And that's the principle that we need to learn from. So when Herbert Hoover took over, he had a really lousy timing to come into the White House in the 1928 election. He took over in 1929. And, you know, in October, there was a stock market crash that happened to Hoover. Why? Well, because we'd had the Roaring Twenties, and people got way too euphoric, and it was a limited government kind of guy. So you don't put the brakes on that necessarily, and so it got out of hand, and we ended up with a stock market crash.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, you start to look at what's happening, though. I mean, just some of the trends now economically, what I'm seeing out there is people that appeal especially to the middle class and lower income businesses are hurting now. And that tells me that that's not a sustainable practice forever. I mean, what, 80% of the economy is just people being able to buy things and spend their money. But you hear McDonald's saying we're losing the lower price point consumer. I heard the energy drink company, Monster, said we're losing our customers. They can't afford to buy Monster drinks anymore. Those things tell me that maybe we should be rethinking my game plan a little bit.
Yeah, now there are plenty of examples from the economy. You know, I drove through a burger joint the other day. I got a cheeseburger, single cheeseburger, and an order of onion rings, $13.57. No drink, just me. I was like, this is crazy. This is and families are hurting. So McDonald's, when they have good earnings reports, it means that the people that have been going to the little more upscale Panera Bread are now moving down to McDonald's, and that's where their consumer is coming from. Dollar Store is seeing people that have been in the middle market, maybe a Walmart shopper, going down to Dollar Store, and you're seeing the upper end market going down to Walmart. You know, less Nordstrom's, less Macy's, more Walmart. So there are some serious upheavals in the economy. But that's the first principle. Every bull market is followed by a bear market. The second principle is hard to time the market. And I'll put people say, well, I'm just getting everything out of the stock market and going completely into gold. I know you hear that.
So my question, like, well, but it feels like, Kevin, I should change my game plan a little bit because every bull market's followed by a bear market. And now you're just kind of correcting me again. It's hard to time the market.
It is hard to time the market because the bull markets go on a lot longer than you think. Here's Ecclesiastes 11:4. It says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. What that means is you got to be about, you can't try and overly time your planting and say, well, you know, the wind here, the clouds here, it's going to rain this day. You just have to be consistent and regular. And that's the benefit of dollar cost averaging. If you're young enough, just keep putting money into investments over time because it really is hard to call the top or the bottom. John Templeton taught me that. The third point is, and we've already covered this, what's obvious may be obviously wrong. Sometimes you think you got it figured out, like that Coca-Cola example I gave. People buy more Coke. Well, who knows? That's already priced in the market. And who knows what you don't know that's not priced into the market? The fourth point, and we've covered this, policy does matter. If we're a socialist economy or a free market economy, it makes a huge difference in returns. Taxation policy makes a huge difference. So think about that. Vote your wallets. Vote your values. We believe you should vote for liberty, security, and values. And, you know, obviously, you don't want handouts because that's not sustainable. Maggie Thatcher said this, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money, right? Mm-hmm. All right, so that's the fourth point. Policy does matter. The fifth point is know your individual circumstances. I can't give advice. Mike can't give advice on this program. We don't know how long you'll be an investor, how much volatility you can stomach. We don't know if you'll be able to add money in over time or not. We can't tell if you're going to need the money at any point in time. But know your individual circumstances. That's really important. And that leads into the next point, point number six, get a good financial advisor. Mike, you've been working with a lot of people looking for a financial advisor.
Yeah. And it seems like with all the uncertainty out there right now, more and more people are saying, oh, what should I be thinking about? The stuff that General Flynn shared as a DIA expert, somebody who's good at connecting dots. We're not saying it is going to happen on that timing, but certainly it means there's something that's going on out there. And so having a financial advisor that understands these principles is keeping up to date on the geopolitical, is able to take it, all these principles that we talk about here and help an individual come together with a game plan is where we really want to help these advisors get to with their clients. And so we're excited to be launching the NSIC Institute on a regular ongoing basis here. And we'll be talking more about that as things come up.
Yeah, you know, one of the questions we did get at AFR@piratemoneyradio.com, if you have a question, send it there to AFR@piratemoneyradio.com by email. One of the questions we did get, should I just do an index fund? Well, that's a question you're going to need to bring up with your financial advisor, because if you buy an index fund, the risk is, while they performed extraordinarily well, the risk is you may be investing in ways that go run contrary to your values. You may be owning shares in a media company like a Disney that goes against what you believe and maybe is harming children in some way. And the Bible says it'd be better to tie a millstone around your neck than to cause one little one to stumble. All right, so that is get a good financial advisor to help you with that. And you can get wisdom. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach. He also says in Proverbs 15:22, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. So get a good financial advisor and do not listen to the world. Psalm 1:1-3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So that's the sixth point. The seventh point is diversify. Ecclesiastes 11:2, invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. So those are the seven points that we should remember, and we should remember the importance of money. This again, Luke 16:10-11, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will trust you with true riches? And finally, don't put your trust in uncertain riches, Matthew 6. Bottom line is money is important, but it is not the most important thing. It's a small thing. We've got to get it right. I thank you for listening to our podcast at AFR or piratemoneyradio.com. You can share this with friends. You can, of course, listen to us on Saturday mornings on AFR Radio, your local station. Send us your questions at AFR@piratemoneyradio.com. Mike, it's been great having you here, and we're talking about money.
Great to be here. Treasures that matter are treasures in heaven.
This is Kevin Freeman, Pirate Money Radio. Till next week.